We are in Luke chapter 5. Luke 5, and boy, what a joy it has been for me to study this area of Scripture. It's one of my all-time favorite miracles that Jesus does. So we're going to look at two miracles tonight that the Lord will perform to show His grace and show His glory. And of course, show His power. So we will pick up in chapter 5 at verse 12. Throughout this chapter, Jesus will call His disciples to follow Him. That's what we learned last week, that Jesus was going about teaching in the temples, teaching in the synagogues, sharing the Word of God. And they began to walk along the Galilee, and He called Simon Peter, and He's called others, and He will continue to do that as we continue through chapter 5. But we also learned that He was calling not just His 12 apostles, but He was calling all men to follow after Him. So we want to keep that in the forefront of our minds as we read through here and just see the works of God and works of Christ as He just displays His power, His Godship, His authority that He has. And this is what He came to do, to show who He was, the Son of God. Even us, we can sometimes get short-focused, I'll say, to the things God can do for us instead of who God is. And I think this was what we're going to see a little bit tonight as we go through the miracles of Christ. You know, His thing was to, I'm going to display my power, but don't get all excited about the power that I have. Come to me. Many times I always struggled with that early in my walk. Why Jesus would say, okay, you've been healed, now don't go tell anybody. It's like, why would you say don't go tell somebody? I mean, I would want to tell everybody what you did. But it was because they wanted people to love Him. He wants us to love Him for who He is, not for what He can do for us. And so as we look at these two miracles and these two healings that Jesus does, we got to realize that the condition of these people's hearts wasn't holiness. It was just faith in the power of God. And it's just a wonderful picture for us. So we're going to read right through the two miracles, the two healings, starting in verse 12. Read along with me in chapter 5. And it happened when He was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored Him, saying, Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean. Then He put out His hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. And He charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more. It's hard to tell somebody to keep a secret, isn't it? And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by Him of their infirmities. So He Himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now it happened on a certain day, as He was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And this is important. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then, behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before Him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When He saw their faith, He said to him, Man, your sins are forgiven you. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answered and said to them, Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things this day. Strange indeed, strange indeed. So we see the two healings, if you will. We see the two miraculous works of God in these accounts. As Luke, again, trying to keep this in concept our minds, that Luke is sharing this. And I love the fact that in both of these, he said, you know, in some city. You know, he's getting to the important stuff. There was a place where Jesus did this. But it doesn't matter where he does it. He can do it anywhere. You know, he has the power to heal us no matter where we're at. And he's everywhere. You know, and so this is what we see. We see the power here in this particular first miracle, the leper. It's recorded in two of the other Gospels, in Matthew and Mark. But very similar wordage, very similar account of these things. And we see in verse 12, the first verse, that a man who was full of leprosy. Okay, now leprosy, I want to kind of read, you know, because I mean, we, I would think most of us understand it's a very bad skin disease. But in the Bible, leprosy can mean a lot of different things. It doesn't necessarily mean the skin disease. I mean, it even talks about in the Old Testament, and we'll turn there briefly, but if you want to study on your own, it even says a house can have leprosy. It's a mold is what it is. So there's a lot of commentary upon this and what is actually, but the idea of leprosy is it's a condition that is implorable. It's just awful, especially when it's the physical aspects of leprosy or what we call Hansen's disease. So I want to read a little bit just to give you a little bit of background, because what Jesus is doing here is so amazing beyond what we're reading. And I think if we get an idea of what he's dealing with, has anybody ever known anybody with leprosy? Let me ask that question. Nobody. See, you met someone. I had a friend whose aunt had leprosy, and I was young. And, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, it's you're very uncomfortable. I mean, it is a skin disease with, you know, lesions and skin that's just, I don't know, pussy. You know, I mean, it's yeah, I didn't want that on the recording. I mean, but it's bad, you know, and as a kid, it's like, you don't, you know, you want to show someone that you care for them, but you're afraid to kiss, you're afraid to hold their hand. I mean, this is a very serious condition, and that's why, as we look at this, it's so important what Jesus does beyond the healing, and it just blows my mind when I look at it. But leprosy, or Hansen's disease, begins with specks on the eyelids and on the palms, gradually spreading over the body, bleaching the hair white wherever they appear, crusting the affected parts with white scales and causing terrible sores and swellings. From the skin, the disease eats inward to the bones, rotting the whole body piecemeal. In Christ's day, no leper could live in a walled town. We think about that when we think about, you know, like Jericho, those fortified cities. They wouldn't let them live inside these towns. Though he might in an open village, but wherever he was required to have his outer garment rent as a sign of deep grief, to go bareheaded and to cover his beard with his mantle, as if in a lamentation at his own virtual death. He had further to warn passerbys to keep away from him by calling out unclean, unclean of himself. Nor could he speak to anyone, which is very important, or receive or return salutations like greetings, since in this day that involved an embrace, a touch. So that's why it's so important to understand the disease, because if you noticed what Jesus did when, number one, this leper spoke to Christ. Okay, in those days you're not to speak, except for to say, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. And so the confidence and the boldness of this man to know there was only one that could heal him on all the earth. I mean, in these days you don't go to the doctor and take a pill and you're good. mean, this was a serious condition. And when we see someone that was full of leprosy, we got to understand this person was probably covered from head to toe with leprosy. And if you noticed it, when this person, we don't get a name, but it says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, what this man is not saying is like, you know, maybe you can or can't. He's basically saying if it's within your will, if you're willing to heal me, if you're willing to touch me, I know you can heal me. And so to me, that's an amazing step of faith. Maybe he heard of the healings that were going on. Maybe he heard some of the things that Jesus had done in the past. Whatever it was, he knew that Jesus could touch him and heal him. And so he goes and makes this step of faith. And what does it say? He says in verse 12 again, it says, he saw Jesus and he fell on his face and implored him. This attitude of worship before God, falling down at his feet, at Jesus' feet, and saying, if you're willing, I know you can heal me. And what does Jesus say in verse 13? Then he put out his hand and touched him. Stop right there. He touched this man. Guys, we in our culture, I mean, I like to touch people. I mean, I like to let them know I care about them. And there's always this embrace and always this touch of care. This person probably had not been touched in so, so very long. For the Lord to simply put his hand upon him must have been an emotion or a feeling to come upon this man that must have ministered to his heart. I mean, it breaks my heart to think, I mean, this person had to live outside the town. He had to walk around and make sure nobody would touch him, come near him, yelling, unclean, unclean. Who? No one's going to go near him. Probably not even his own family would come near him and visit this person. And to me, as I said, the greatest miracle right here is that Jesus actually put his hand upon this man. That must have meant so much to this guy. I bet if he didn't even get healed of his leprosy, he would have been felt like, man, I've just been touched by God. I've just been touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. And to know that Jesus says, I am willing. You know, in our lives, the things that are going on in our lives, when we come to the Lord and say, Lord, are you willing to do something? Are you truly willing? We believe you can do it, but would you do it? I mean, I think sometimes we get to the place in our walks with God where we think, we know God can. We have the amazing faith to believe that he can. But sometimes we look at our situation and we go, but he's not going to do it for me. He might do it for somebody else. You know, somebody who teaches the Bible, somebody who serves the Lord all the time, but not me. Guys, there is nothing. And both of these miracles, there's really nothing that anybody really did to earn the credit to heal, right? I mean, it wasn't like, I don't know, this wasn't like a holy person. You know what I mean? That's what I'm getting at. It's like he was just a person that believed in the power of God. And throughout the Bible, it was always faith that healed people. And we even see it in our second miracle. It's like your faith. He saw their faith. It was amazing, their faith. And because of that, he healed. And that's what we see here. Is this guy was willing. Not only was Jesus willing, he said, I am willing and I'm going to touch you. And notice at the end of verse 13, immediately the leprosy left him. Whoa. Full of leprosy. I mean, there was no question. You know, this isn't just one little lesion on his arm and it disappeared. You know, all of a sudden, immediately. And let me say this, because I think it's an absolute biblical truth. When God is willing and ready to heal or to change a circumstance in our life, it's going to happen immediately. It may not seem like it to us. That's the key. But when God is willing and ready to do whatever, you know, the things that we're all praying for each other in our lives, you know, whether it's a job or a house or different careers or different things, when God is ready to do it, it's immediate. See, to us, we've been praying and praying. Boy, God's taking his time. No, God doesn't. When God heals, it's immediate. It's absolutely immediate. And we need to realize that we just got to wait upon the timing of the Lord. Because he does these things. And when he does it, it's always perfect. We've all experienced the timing of God. And, you know, sure, we all would have liked it earlier. But when it comes, it's just so perfect. And we understand why God waited most of the time. I mean, maybe sometimes we don't know, but we know that when it actually comes, it works out for the better. But as he touches him, he must have ministered to the man's heart, of course. And I'm asking us tonight, you know, do you need to be touched by Jesus today? Do Do you need that touch? As I've been studying this, I've just been all day going, Lord, man, touch my eyes, touch my ears, touch my heart. You know, because the touch of Christ upon our lives is an absolute amazing experience. Now, are we going to feel it? You know, we're not going to feel the touch, but we're going to feel the change. We're going to feel the power of the Holy Spirit come into our lives when God does that. You know, when we ask for God to touch our eyes so we look at the things that are holy and not the things that are unholy. When we ask Him to touch our hearts so that we believe in Him, or our ears so that we hear His voice. You know, ask the Lord for that touch, because there's areas in all of our lives that God wants to touch and God needs to touch. And if we see it here, we want to believe that God wants to touch us as well. God's timing, again, I want to come back to this. God's timing is so perfect. You know, I think about back in Genesis. Wouldn't it have been awful if God said, let there be light, and then a few days went by, and then light showed up? I mean, I was like, what's the deal? But when God said, let there be light, there was light, right? Genesis 1:3 says, let there be light, and there was light. And when God speaks it, it happens. God's timing is perfect and His power is amazing. Believe God to work in your life. Believe in God to do it and to do it in His time and in His way. It's called trust, right? It's called trusting. I mean, I'd love to know how old this man was. How long has he been wanting to be healed? How long has he been wanting to be whole? And here it is. Jesus finally does it. He's finally able to do it. But in verse 14, we see, and He charged him to tell no one. Again, why? Lord, why would you not want him to tell somebody? And Jesus goes on to tell us and gives us a little bit of insight that there was a process that had to take place. The book of, I believe it's Leviticus, and we're going to go turn there in a minute to look at it, but there's two chapters devoted to leprosy. Two chapters devoted to how priests are to deal with it, how they're to discover it, and it's actually pretty profound. And for homework, I encourage you to read chapters 13 and 14 on what's going on here. Jesus does not want to attract a crowd of curiosity seekers. That's why He doesn't want people to go out and tell. He doesn't want people to come around just to see the show. That's what He's doing. He's saying, don't tell anybody. You know, don't share this. And of course He's going to share it with his family member and his loved ones. But He's like, look, I want people, like I said when I started, God wants him to come because they want to seek after Him and seek after His heart. What attracts you to Jesus? Is it what He can do for you? Is it the provision that He can give to you? Is it because of the healings? Is it because of the restorations? Or is it because of just His love? What attracts you to the Lord? And instead of telling everyone, Jesus told this man to show yourself to the priests and to make an offering. Now that's interesting. Jesus tells him, go show yourself to the priest and make sure you give something. Kind of weird, isn't it? Well, let's keep our place in Luke and go over to Leviticus chapter 14 and see why Jesus said this. Jesus, again, is not trying to build a big church building. Doesn't have a building project for the priest, but he's actually following the word of God. God has a way of doing that, doesn't He? Leviticus 14, we're right in the front, verse 1. We read, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. So we can see that there were cleansings even in the Old Testament. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take from him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that the one of the birds be killed in the earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And you can go on and read, but you can see this very clearly following the word. He's following the command that God gave to Moses, and this is what Jesus is telling this particular leper to do, to follow, to don't skirt around. Jesus didn't come to overdo the law. The law was there. He wanted to fulfill that law, and so He's telling this leper to do what the Bible, what the Word of God, the Scriptures speak of. And it's just a beautiful picture for us to realize that when Jesus was around, he didn't, he didn't come to change anything. He just came to fulfill and to show and to restore. So this is what he tells the man to do. And then in verse 15, as we come back to Luke, and again, if you read verses 13 or chapters 13 and 14 through the whole thing, if you want to get some more information on leprosy, man, God is so detailed on how they're to go through these processes of healing and cleansing lepers. It's pretty fascinating. Verse 15, we see, however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together, look at this, to hear. They came together to hear first. And then it goes on to say, and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Remember, we were talking last week, Luke is very clear on teaching us and showing us that Jesus was always teaching, teaching, teaching. And here the people came around to hear. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. And that's for a clear picture for us to make sure that we hear what God has to say. To hear what the Lord has to speak to us, what his word is telling us. Guys, when you read, when you do your devotions, and you just read your scriptures or your whatever you use, do you take the time to just sit there and listen to what the word is saying to you? You know, to read a scripture or to read, I don't know how you do your devotions, whether you're reading through the Bible or you're just going through a book that shows scriptures, but make sure when you read a scripture to take the time to let that soak in. To meditate upon what that word is saying. Because the Holy Spirit is going to give you time to realize things. That's what I've really been enjoying about going through the book of Luke. As I read a scripture, man, things just start popping off the page to me of amazing insight. It's just instant right here. They came together to hear. What did they come to hear? They came to hear the word of God. They came to hear the teachings of Christ. Certainly, I believe a lot of them came just to be to heal, to be their pains and their infirmities be taken away. You know, they probably brought their crippled relatives or friends to the Lord. But there was that time to hear. You know, we used to minister to the homeless downtown. And we'd hear them always complain about how the Nashville, what's it called? Homeless Mission? What's it called? The Mission, right. The one that feeds them the meals. And they would always complain, oh, the only way we can get a meal is if we sit through a message. And they didn't have a heart to hear the word of God. They would do it because their bellies were empty and they wanted food, but it wasn't a joy for them. You know, and it's like, man, you got go listen to them. Now I'll give them credit to say that every message was the same message. You know, it was always about, you know, repent, you sinners, or you're going to hell. And so you get a little tired of the same salvation message all the time. They weren't teaching the word per se, you know what I mean, like we are used to. But still the scriptures are powerful. And I think at any time when you hear the word of God taught or spoken to, God has an opportunity to speak to you no matter what's being said. The scriptures speak. You know, so it's having that heart to come under and to listen to the word of God and say, God, what are you telling me? What are you showing me? You know, it might mean something, obviously, to this man, but what is it meaning to you right now? Because maybe you would read this and go, oh, that's leprosy. I have nothing to do with that, and move on. There's a lot of things God can show you in this story. That he's willing to touch you. That he's willing to put his hand upon your life and encourage you. And maybe you're feeling lonely. Maybe you're feeling a little discouraged. Maybe tonight you need God to just go, I'm with you. I'm there with you. You know, so ask the Lord to show you and reveal these things to you as you look through his word. So they came to hear. Of course they came to see and they came to be healed. But they wanted to hear the word of God. And it is so glorious to me to know that he can heal the worst of diseases. Again, these days it didn't happen real regularly that lepers would be healed. But Jesus has the power to heal one of the most awful conditions humanly in these days. And to see the faith of this man, to believe that, it shows us the power of our God. It shows us that there's nothing we can go through, no circumstance we can be in and think, well, God can't get me through this. I can't tell you the number of people I've sat down with saying that, you know, their finances are so bad, I have to file bankruptcy. I'm like, you are not giving God an opportunity. You know, I mean, you got to give God an opportunity to let your life, get your life in order in the area of your finances and to encourage someone to take a few steps. Hey, it's always available to you. Why not try the Lord first? Put God first. see what he might do and turn around your situations, because we can get in that tunnel vision to say, well, God can't fix this. Man, I don't think we should ever say that. God can always fix it. God can always fix it. He can heal you. He has the power to heal you. Do you have the faith that he can heal you? Do you have the faith that he can do it? Just like this leper. And I bet all of his other leper friends, because they're probably the only people you ever talked to, were saying, where are you going? Why are you going over there? What can he do for you? There's only one. There's only one that came up. You can't imagine. It's like, whoa, he had the faith. And I just think that speaks volumes, and it should speak volumes to us. But look at verse 16, okay? The people are pressing in. They want a lot of people getting healed. It's getting hustle and bustle. And I love what the Lord does. And we saw this last week too in verse 16. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now, jokingly, I'm going to say he probably went and prayed for the people that were, all they wanted to do is see the miraculous in his life. But I can't imagine. I mean, we see the Lord constantly going to prayer. I mean, God was doing great things. Jesus is healing people. Everybody's getting healed. It's amazing. But yet Jesus knew the source of his abilities were from the Father, were from God. And so went back to prayer. In our lives, man, we got to stay going to that place and going into that time of prayer, completely dedicated and focused upon the Lord. Second thing we see is now this paralytic that comes in. Okay, again, the hustle and bustle is still happening. Luke tells us now it happened on a certain day, doesn't tell us when, as he was teaching, here he is teaching again, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. The word had gotten out what Jesus was doing. And look at this at the end of verse 17. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now this verse really is speaking about the power of God is the ability to heal the people. Okay, I can get there and say, well, the Pharisees needed to be healed too. But, you know, the power of God, guys, is always available to us to heal. It's always. Jesus doesn't need a certain time. He doesn't need a certain stance. Doesn't need a certain, you know, solar or certain thing going on in the stars. Jesus always has the power and the ability to heal. Right now, at this moment, at this very second, he could heal. I don't know what that was. But at this minute, the Lord can heal. We're getting there, almost. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. And Jesus always has that power. But the circumstances in our lives have to be right. They have to be favorable in our lives. And now you can put that Matthew scripture up, Don. And this is, what's that? Oh, it was. So look what Jesus says here in Nazareth. He says, now he did not do many mighty works there. Look at this. Because of their unbelief. It's the only thing that can stop God from healing you or touching you. Is unbelief. Wow. Wow. I always forget who the gentleman is in the scriptures that he believed in Jesus, but he asked Jesus to help his unbelief. You know, we believe in Jesus in certain areas, but there's areas of our lives that God needs to reveal to us that we need more faith. We need more belief that God can do it. So it's unbelief that can stop us. It's that doubt like that James talks about. You know, you got to have that come. You can't be like a wave tossed to and fro. You got to believe. Don't doubt in the Lord. Trust in him. He was unable to do many mighty works in Nazareth because of their unbelief. That stopped him. That hindered him. It's the only thing that can cripple the work of God, and that's unbelief. But look at these guys. These guys had some amazing faith. So much so that Jesus saw their faith. Do you see that in verse 20? Jump down to verse 20. It says, when he saw their faith. What was he seeing? What was it he was seeing? Let's try to put ourselves in this picture. Here's this crowd wanting to see Jesus, wanting to be healed by Jesus. Listen to the story. They come up with their friend, four guys carrying their friend who's a paralytic with his bed. And there's a crowd. Oh, we can't get to Jesus. They didn't just turn around and go home. Say, we'll come back on a day when it's less crowded. You know, the restaurant's full. We got to go somewhere else. No, these guys said, know what? We came here to see Jesus, and we're going to look for a way to get in. We're going to look for a way to get to Christ. Guys, sometimes I think we look at the situations and we don't see an immediate way into the Lord or an immediate way to get close to God, and we give up. We back off. instead of sitting there going, how can I get closer to God today? Maybe it's your busy schedule. You're trying to figure out some time you can spend with the Lord. You're going, I just can't do it. I just can't find any time to spend with the Lord. When you just got to ask God, Lord, show me. What can I set aside? What can I move out of my schedule so that I can spend that time with you? These guys were committed. They were devoted. They were showing their faith in Christ to heal them. All we got to do is get to the Lord. It was just like that little woman. Wasn't it the little woman who was bleeding for 12 years? She threw the crowds to touch the hem of his garment, and she was healed. That faith, she pushed through. She didn't say, oh, I can't get to him. We got to make sure we persevere. We got to make sure we press in closely to the Lord. They went up on the housetop. They didn't give up because of things and their difficulties. They sought for another way to get to Jesus. And this is what we need to look for sometimes in our lives, is ways to get closer to the Lord. He's always there. He's always accessible, praise God. We can come to him at any time. We got to maybe look at our own lives to fit the Lord into our lives, to fit him into our schedules. You know, to let a few things go that we can spend that time with the Lord. Because Jesus saw their faith. And notice what he says. He said to the man, your sins are forgiven. Why did this guy come to Jesus? To get healed. And Jesus went a step farther, didn't he? He saw his faith. He knows his life. He knows what he needs more than anything else. And that was for his sins to be forgiven. Right? They came to be physically healed. Jesus said, I'm going to heal you more completely. Do we sometimes sell God short? Do we sometimes go, God, I want this, but God wants to give us more? God wants to give us the greater thing, our greater need? I think of another paralytic at the gate of the temple. As Peter was going, he said, silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. This man wanted money. It's like, my life's hard. I need money. No, what you need is the power of God in your life so you can walk. And so we got to look to our own lives and say, am I not asking for enough? Do we feel worthy to ask? No. But through Christ, we have that. We should have that boldness to be able to say, God, I want all you want for me. Certainly, just like the leper. If it's in your will to give me what you want to give me, then let me have it, Lord. Let me have all that you have for me. Don't let me hinder not one thing. He saw their faith. But notice this. What did they do, or what did this man do to have his sins forgiven? I mean, did he just come back from a baptism? I mean, was he being a good, good Christian? No. What did he do? He was just faithful to the Lord. He was faithful to God. He simply had the faith to know, I just got to get to Jesus and he can heal me. I bet this guy was convincing his four friends, I don't care what you got to do, get me in there. It was probably his faith convincing these other four. Can't we go home? Can't we come back tomorrow? It's a little lighter after, on Mondays. No, get me to Christ. Get me to the Lord. Yes, get me close to him. And I think he saw his faith to know that, and he just says, your sins are forgiven you. Guys, the greatest thing we can receive from God is forgiveness of sin. It's the greatest miracle. It's the greatest gift that God can ever give, is to say your sins are forgiven. And through Christ, our sins are forgiven. We come to him, we say, God, we're sorry, and he forgives. But the problem in this particular healing here, faith, again, Don, if you'd put up James 2 and 18, James says, but someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. We've done this in men's Bible study. We've talked about going through James. Like, how do you know I have faith in God? It's not by me telling you I do. It's by me showing you I have faith in God. It's by showing you that I trust in the Lord. And that's how we display our faith. But this guy didn't do anything. Okay, yeah, he came down through the ceiling. But he didn't do anything but other than having that faith and confidence to know that I just got to get close to him. And James says the same thing. I'm going to show you my faith by the things I do. And this man showed him in that way. But there was nothing religious that he had to do to be right with God before God was willing to heal him. He was just willing to forgive. And I think that shows the heart of God, that the heart of God is to forgive us of our sins. It is. You didn't have to say any Hail Marys. You didn't have to do any, you know, you didn't have to read so many scriptures. You didn't have to memorize anything. Your sins are forgiven you. Sins are forgiven you. I don't know where the scripture is, but I thought about it on the right over here. It's like, your sins are many, but they're forgiven. Go your way and sin no more. God knows the number of our sins, and he's willing to forgive even all of those. And I ask you, you know, how are you showing God your faith? Because it's one thing to show us our faith, but how are we showing God our faith? This was these guys showing, this man's faith was being shown to the Lord. The Lord's the one that saw it. It didn't matter what else anybody else said. And it really doesn't matter what anybody else says about our lives or our faith. It's about what God and the faith that we're showing to God. You know, we can't have that outward faith and know the inward faith is weak. God sees that, doesn't he? God sees that inward lack of faith. And so before God, we have to show our faith strong. One more stop. We're going to turn over to the Gospel of John, just a couple handful of pages to the right. Gospel of John chapter 2 and verse 23. It's the last three verses of chapter 2 of the Gospel of John. God knows our condition, guys. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our shortcomings. And this is what we see here in this gospel in verse 23 of chapter 2. Now when he, being Jesus, was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. You know, this just displays to us the condition of our hearts, the condition of our wickedness and our wicked hearts to desire the fleshly things, the physical things. And I think the Lord wants those spiritual desires in our lives. He wants us to have that spiritual passion and compassion for people because he knows us and he knows you. You know, I think sometimes we try to trick the Lord into being something where we're not. He knows who we are. He knows your limitation. He knows your failings. He still loves you. He still loves you. He still died for you, even though there's kinks in the armor, if you will. He knows our condition. Knows our heart. Take those things to him. Lord, help my unbelief. Help those areas of my life where I'm not believing in you completely, 100%, trusting in your ways. Because he knows us. He knows us, and he still loves us. Back to Luke. Close with a few more points here. So Jesus forgives this man's sins, and then of the Pharisees come on the scene here. In verse, I think it's 22. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" These guys are saying these things in their hearts. They're thinking these thoughts in their minds. And Jesus sees it so perfectly, verse 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, we can see it right there. He answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'?" I think the Lord is amazing when he uses this illustration. Is any of one of these two harder for God or easier for God? No. God can forgive sins just as easy as he can make someone who can't walk walk. To God, it's nothing, but to man, it's a whole different thing, isn't it? You know, Albert, your sins are forgiven. Can anybody tell his sins are forgiven? Can we see that? No. We know it. We feel it. We sense it. The Lord knows it. And so Jesus is saying, okay, you think that's a great thing? I'm going to heal him too. As a witness, as a testimony, as a proof that I have the power to forgive him of sins. And they were right, weren't they, when they said, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Well, guess what? You're standing in the presence of God. And so he says, which is easier, this or that? But, in verse 24, that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." So he heals him. He heals him. Tells him to stand up and walk. Forgives him his sins, now go get up and walk. And what's amazing to me about this is this was a proof to the Pharisees. The man knew. The man knew in his heart he was forgiven. And just like I say, when it comes to the leper, just the touch was probably more than enough for him. Yet the physical healing came second. Here, the same thing. This man was forgiven of all of his sins, got made in right relationship with God. What better thing is there? You know, I'll be in bed the rest of my life if my relationship with God is in order. That's a beautiful thing. But for the Pharisees to show them and show their hearts, I'll even prove that he is able to walk. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful power. Verse 25, my favorite word in these chapters, immediately he rose up before them. He didn't, you know, he probably bounced up on his feet. Took up what he had been lying on and departed on his own house. Very important two words, glorifying God. Glorifying God. And again, we can look at this, but I think he's glorifying God because he's, again, his sins are forgiven. His sins are forgiven. He's right before, oh, God, I just thank you so much for forgiving my sins. Glorify you. Glorify your name for you and the power that you have to forgive me of my sins. And again, we see, what did this man do? Nothing. He just had his sins forgiven for him. In verse 26, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, righteous fear, holy fear, saying, we have seen strange things this day. And hadn't they? Hadn't they witnessed some pretty amazing things? He reads minds, right? Forgave sins, healed someone. It was just amazing what the Lord had done. They had seen strange things. That word strange in the Greek is paradoxus. It's a paradox. It talks about an unexpected or an uncommon or an incredible or a wonderful thing. I like the word wonderful. I like the word wonderful. I want to see God do some amazing things in my life. I want to see God do strange things in my life. And you know the strangest thing God does in all of our lives? He forgives us of our sins. That is a wonderfully strange thing. Why? Why does he forgive us of our sins? Because we're such wonderful people. We go to Calvary Chapel. Everybody's happy. No. Because we believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. The Son of Man. And that's a whole other Bible study. Son of Man is a word for us. We are the sons of men. But Jesus is the Son of Man. He's the authority. He's the Godhead. And I want to see God do great things in our lives, don't we? Each day we see strange things. Each day we see wonderful things that God has done as we go and repent. This is a daily thing. We should be repenting of sin. You know, has anybody had a day where they hadn't sinned? No. So every day we repent, every day we see a strange thing because God gives us that forgiveness. What we see in these two miracles is the grace of God and the glory of God. The grace of God to touch the untouchable. To touch the untouchable. And the glory of God to forgive the unforgivable. God forgives the unforgivable. It's sin. The consequences of sin, what? Death. Through Jesus Christ, we have our sins forgiven. Praise God, right? Glory to God. This week, I want you to be willing to be touched by God's amazing grace. Let God touch you. Don't let anything hinder you. Don't let the crowds hinder you. Don't let anything hinder you from getting close to God and be touched by him. Let him put his hand upon you. Let him carry you. Let him push you. Let him hold you back from something you shouldn't go to. Let the hand of God be upon your life. And through it all, give him glory. Give him glory. Glorify the name of the Lord because of his guidance and his protection. That same hand that guides and protects, that motivates and holds back, keeps us away from harm. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful picture and the power that God has for us. And I had titled this message, It's His Will. It's His Will. Just like this leper, we need to look to, if you're willing, Lord, if you're willing, do this for us. He is willing. Let's have the faith to believe that he'll do it. Amen.